In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Before I get to the topic of today, I just want to make a couple of comments upon the events of this recent week. Robert Moynihan had a few observations to make regarding the rescue of the miners down in Chile. He noted that Pope Benedict sent each one of them a special gift, a rosary that he himself had blessed. The rosaries were brought to the miners personally by the Cardinal of Santiago, Chile, and given, passed down to them while they were down there. To survive, the miners organized their life, and part of it, they would set up, what they did is they set up a chapel, sort of a chapel in that cave, and every day, part of their routine, according to certain reports, was that they prayed the rosary each day. Now, the 33 miners, interestingly enough, 33 of them, were caught in a mine cave in hundreds of meters below the surface of the earth on August 5th, the eve of the Feast of the Transfiguration of our Lord. The first man was rescued just after midnight on October 13th. And they were all brought up in 22 hours. So in other words, the rescue was all done on October 13th. Now, prior to this, the Pope was in London on September 17th, the second day of his trip to Scotland and England, and at a service in Westminster Abbey on September 17th, Pope Benedict specifically prayed for the miners in front of the tomb of St. Edward the Confessor. The drilling to get down to the miners began that day. And interestingly enough, on October 13th, the day the miners were freed, that's the feast day of St. Edward the Confessor in the United Kingdom. October 13th is also the anniversary of the last appearance of the Virgin Mary to the three shepherd children in Fatima, at which apparition Our Lady referred to herself as the Lady of the Rosary. Let none doubt what was going on here. God is sending the world a message. I think it was really an important one. 33 men, same number of men to match the years of our Lord's life here on earth. They put the rosary each day once they received them. They were delivered on October 13th, the last apparition of Our Lady of Fatima, in which she said, "I am the Lady of the Rosary." And also on the feast day of St. Edward the Confessor, that same confessor to whom Pope Benedict prayed for the release of those miners. Let none doubt the intercessory power of prayer. Let none doubt that. 2 Timothy 2:1 speaks of this. Let prayers, intercessions, supplications be lifted up to God. Don't anyone doubt the intercessory power of the Pope's prayer. The power of the prayers of those in the state of grace and those in holy orders is powerful. It's powerful. God is sending the world a message. We may not get a whole lot more, huh? But God is trying to wake us up. We need to wake up. We'll get to the topic of today. It's not unrelated. We also are trapped in a certain way. We all have something that we call the predominant fault. It underlies our actions. I'll give a few things. There's 8 obstacles to holiness that Father Eugene Boylan lists, and these are not directly the predominant fault. However, they can all be caused, and usually are caused, by our predominant fault. So I'll list the 8 obstacles to holiness. I'll just list them, maybe describe a little bit about them, but I'll really get on to the important topic, the predominant fault. So there are 8 obstacles to holiness. First obstacle to holiness is mortal sin. Obviously, you can't have a spiritual life when you're dead. That's the spiritual death of the soul, mortal sin. The next obstacle to holiness is deliberate venial sin. Deliberate venial sin. The Council of Trent says that without a special grace, it's hard to avoid those what we call semi-deliberate venial sins, where like someone surprises you and you come out with a white lie or something like that, and you just realize, I never lie, but this just surprised me, and this type of thing. That's a semi-deliberate sin, venial sin. Those are hard to avoid, but we need a special grace from God to do that, and we can pray for that. However, the deliberate venial sins are a definite obstacle to holiness. The ones where we say, yeah, I know this is only a white lie, but I'm going to say it anyway. The ones that we say, I know it's not mortal, but I'm going to do it anyway, when it's deliberate like that. That's an obstacle to holiness. We can't grow in holiness with those. The third obstacle to holiness, a lack of generosity in doing God's will. The fourth obstacle, the lack of interior mortification. Now, what's mortification? Mortification is a special act of discipline or of self-control that we impose upon ourselves. Okay? It's not avoiding sin. That's something else. Mortification is like training so that you avoid the sin when you're tempted with it. So lack of interior mortification, that's mortifying the thoughts, the mind, the imagination, not letting the imagination go wherever it wants, creating dreams in our mind that are just going all over the place. You know, controlling our thoughts, our imagination, our minds. And the fifth obstacle to holiness is a lack of exterior mortification. Exterior mortification, bodily mortification. Think about how our culture is kind of awash in this lack of exterior bodily mortification. The sixth obstacle to holiness is a lack of fervent communions, really loving communions, desires to grow in the love of God and the grace of God, fervent communions, thankful communions for what we receive in Holy Communion. We need to be extremely thankful for the privilege of Holy Communion. The seventh obstacle to holiness is a lack of spiritual reading. The eighth obstacle to holiness is a lack of mental prayer. So those are the eight obstacles to holiness. We're going to look at what could underlie all those is the predominant fault. So what is a predominant fault? Relying mostly on Father Garrigou Lagrange, the three ages of the interior life, he describes there that the predominant fault is the defect in us which tends to prevail over the others. And it prevails over our manner of feeling, manner of judging, our manner of acting, sympathizing, willing. It's a defect that has, in each of us, an intimate relation with our temperament. Okay, what we're inclined to. For example, a temperament's a way of acting and reacting to things. Like some temperaments incline one to laziness, or they might incline one to sloth, to gluttony, to effeminacy, to sensuality. Others are inclined to anger, to pride. Whatever the weaknesses we are naturally inclined to by our disposition, this will affect the way we act. And this is where we might find our predominant fault. Father Garrigou Lagrange goes on to say that the predominant fault is our domestic enemy. It lives in us. And it's that enemy number one inside there that we have to combat. If it develops, it can succeed in completely ruining the spiritual life. Look what happened to Judas. His predominant fault, the one who betrayed our Lord, it wasn't hatred of our Lord, but his predominant fault was avarice, greed. He wanted the money. But look what it led him to do. So that's what the predominant fault can do. It's sort of like a crack in a wall, which may appear to be sturdy, but if you get some water in there, some freezing goes on, and one strong jolt, and that wall could come down. That's what a predominant fault can do. So we have to identify it so we can root it out. So how do we identify it? To identify the predominant fault, well, first we need to ask, why do we want to? Well, we mentioned a couple of reasons, but without it, we can really have no true growth in the interior life. Okay, all these eight obstacles to holiness will crop up. So to identify the predominant fault, the first step is prayer. Obviously, we have to ask God to enlighten us. We might say a prayer like this: Lord, make me know the obstacles I more or less consciously place in the way of working of thy grace in me. Then give me the strength to rid myself of them. And if I am negligent in doing so, do thou deign to free me from them, though I should suffer greatly. Good prayer to discover our predominant fault. The next step to discovering it is to make a serious examination. Now, how do we do this? We do this by asking ourselves several questions. For example, these are important questions. What do my most ordinary concerns, worries, tend toward in the morning when I awake or when I am alone? Where do my thoughts and desires go spontaneously? So when I'm alone, where my thoughts, my desires tend toward? Other questions to ask to discover the predominant fault is, what is generally the cause or source of my sadness and joy? What is the general motive of my actions? The ordinary origin of my sins, especially when there's a series of sins, or a state of resistance to grace, and especially when this resistance persists for a number of days or a period of months, and especially when this resistance leads us to omit our daily prayers and devotions. We can also ask ourselves, what does my confessor think my predominant fault is? Often he's already identified it, and perhaps he's tried to tell us. A good sign that he's on the mark as to having discovered the predominant fault is when the excuses come quickly. But Father, it's because of this, you know. Okay, when you strike a nerve, you might be hitting pay dirt, you know what I mean? So the predominant fault also has a repugnance at being discovered. It tries to mask itself as a virtue. You know, pusillanimity, where we don't have the virtue of fortitude, we say, well, I'm being discreet. I actually don't want to defend the faith. It's hard to defend the faith, but I'm being discreet. You know, maybe I'll wait to a better time or something. And maybe just a lack of courage, you know, but it's masked under a virtue. So that's often a danger, is it can mask itself under a virtue. Other signs to recognize the predominant fault. What temptations does the enemy usually arouse in us? Keep in mind also that in moments of true fervor, the inspirations of the Holy Ghost will ask us for sacrifices related to this particular fault. So if we find ourselves in a moment of true fervor, true unity, and we're willing to do God's will, and then we have a thought, maybe I should give this up. We say, uh-oh, I don't want to give that up. Okay, that may be that we're on the mark, but that's where the predominant fault is. So just to review here, the questions to ask to discover the predominant fault. What do my most ordinary concerns, worries tend toward when I wake up in the morning or when I'm alone? Where do my thoughts and desires go spontaneously? Where the heart is, that's where the thoughts are, that's where the heart is. What is mostly the cause or source of my sadness and joy? What's the main motive of my actions? The ordinary origin of my sins, especially when there's a series of sins? And what does my confessor think my predominant fault is? And what usually tempts me? So those questions will help discover the predominant fault. How about fighting that predominant fault? Three things we can do to fight that predominant fault. Father Gregory Lagrange says that there are three things we can do to wage war on this predominant fault. Prayer, an examination of conscience, and a sanction. I'll explain what I mean by this. Prayer, an examination of conscience, and a sanction. Prayer. We might say this prayer, Lord, show me what my predominant fault is. Let me have the courage and the grace to overcome this predominant fault, even if it causes me much suffering. Okay? That's the predominant fault is the root. It's not good enough, is it, to cut off the weeds at the top. We have to pull the root out, otherwise they're just going to keep coming back. And also keep this in mind, too, when you go to confession. It may be that, okay, you know, say someone is impatient, for example. But maybe that impatience is due to gluttony. You know, the person's just, all he's got on his mind is food or something, so he becomes impatient or something, you know. Or maybe it's due to self-will. We just don't like someone contradicting our will, whatever it is, even if the person's right. And we just don't like our will being contradicted. So maybe our predominant fault is being self-willed. You know, so we have to see not just the sin. So maybe we snapped at someone. So we might confess, well, I snapped at someone. But if the root is, I snapped at someone because they're opposing my will. There we're getting to the root, and there we can pull it out, okay? So that's the first thing, prayer. And then the second means is an examination of conscience. We mentioned these questions which help us discover the predominant fault, but we also want to sort of keep track of things. Make a daily examination of conscience. Look, which one of us here likes to be lied to? You know? We're lying to ourselves when we don't make an examination of conscience. You know, we say, I'm okay. I haven't done anything wrong. Well, have we thought about the day? Have you reviewed the day, the words, the thoughts, the actions, the desires, the omissions? Have we reviewed all those? That's what's going to shed light on these, on the predominant fault. And once we discover the predominant fault, we should make a particular examine on what that fault is. Like if the predominant fault is pride, we should say, how have I been prideful today? And kind of review the day with that in mind. Okay, so that will help root it out. Then the last means in order to wage war on the predominant fault is to impose a sanction. Okay, what do we mean by this? It's a little penance. When we discover or when we've fallen into the predominant fault, we realize, oh, there I go again. Don't get discouraged, okay? Don't get discouraged. Note it, you know, okay, there it is again. But now I'm going to do a little sanction. Okay, maybe I'll skip dessert today, you know. That sort of thing, you know, just impose a little sanction on yourself, a little prayer or something. And then if we find ourselves doing this sanction a lot, we may realize, wow, I fall into this predominant fault a lot. And it'll help us avoid it more in the future. Okay, so prayer, examination of conscience, and a sanction will help give us a heads up for the future. So we've looked at the predominant fault, what it is. We've seen how to recognize it by prayer and an examination. We've seen the questions to review, where our thoughts go, where are my desires, what usually tempts me, what is the usual source of my sadness and joy. These questions will discover it. And then we've seen how to wage war on it, prayer, an examination of conscience daily, and a sanction that we impose when we fall in that fault. We are all, in a certain sense, trapped, like those miners were. The predominant fault can trap us, but let's use the means, let's use the Holy Rosary to help free us from our predominant fault. Use the means of grace that we have available, confession, fervent communions, good communions, confession, prayer, meditation, mental prayer. All these things are going to help us out. Look, your salvation is of paramount importance to us. Whether I get to heaven depends upon whether you get to heaven. So, I don't want to spare any means myself, okay? Because I want to get up there, all right? And I hope all of us really want to not spare any means to get there. Think about the effort that went into saving these miners and how they were sparing nothing and everyone was chipping in, all sides. NASA was donating things all over the world. We need to have that kind of storming of the predominant fault. It's much more serious than being trapped underground for 70 days. We need to break free from it. Let's put all the means, all the weapons at our disposal to break free from this. God wants to help us, but he needs our will. That is something that's truly ours, and we alone control. But we need our will. We need to have a willingness, not just, I would like to break free from this fault, but an efficacious will. I'm going to break free from this. And what are the steps? I'm going to find out the steps and break free from them. It doesn't matter the inconvenience in this life, because we want to get to heaven. Okay, I want you all to get there. We need to have a contingent up there. Everyone should be up there. Why should the devil get any one of our souls? He doesn't deserve them. Let's break free from our faults. Let's trust in God. Use the means of grace available to us. Discover and free ourselves from our predominant faults. May Our Lady of the Rosary pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.